الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Negligence. Interesting title for the khutbah. The Sheikh said in the beginning of his khutbah that there's a disease which has spread amongst us, and it seems that everyone has a share of that disease. Some suffer abundantly while some suffer partially, each according to his field in life, except those whom Allah has shown specific mercy to, and little are they. This disease is negligence, which has afflicted individuals, societies, even the elderly, and then they transferred this disease to the children. The disease of negligence is a very dangerous disease. If someone doesn't treat it, then he is at the edge of destruction. Those who make negligence their common feature, if they accept it, it will eventually affect all aspects of their lives, and he will become negligent concerning everything. O believers, there is negligence in acts of worship, and there is negligence in fulfilling the obligations, and there is negligence towards the children and guiding them. There's negligence among the students in their school, negligence among the employees at work, negligence among the caretakers of the family towards their family, negligence amongst those in charge, the managers of businesses, negligence concerning the rights of parents, negligence concerning the rights of neighbors. In fact, there's even negligence when it comes to throwing trash in our streets. Negligence in the way we drive our cars. Some people have just neglected the whole life. Okay, it's just negligence in everything. And what is even greater in danger than all of that is that someone neglects his life to come, the Akhirah, so he doesn't really care much about it. He said, isn't there in what I've mentioned or part of it something which exists in each and every one of us, or maybe all of us, but at various levels? So why this negligence, why this carelessness, why this absence of responsibility, why do people act negligently? He said, why does the student neglect his studies? Why does he not care and pay attention? And why does the employee neglect his work? Why does he not care and pay attention? Why does the father not care for his children and his wife? And why does he neglect his home? Why does the boss at work neglect his position, and he does not look after those who are actually entrustees in his neck? Allah has entrusted them with these employees on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He's responsible for them. And after all that, why does someone neglect his whole life so he has nothing to do and he doesn't care about anything? If we reflect and look closely into this matter, we will find that the whole thing revolves around the fact that the person has first neglected his heart. Meaning all of these are a byproduct of the first step towards negligence, is neglecting one's heart before anything. The one who neglects his heart, it will become easy to neglect anything which comes afterwards. Very true. The hearts of people have been afflicted with hardness, with heedlessness, with over-entertainment, perhaps an element of showing off. Hypocrisy, envy had entered their hearts. And what do you expect of the body to do when the heart is suffering in this manner? The body which is moved by the heart. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was quoted to have said, the qalb is al-malik, the heart is the king, wal-a'da'u junudu, and all the body parts are the soldiers. So if the king is good, the soldiers are good. And if the king is no good, then the soldiers are no good. He said, this is why it is not strange that we find that Islam pays much attention to the heart and the condition of the heart. Because if the heart is sound, then the rest of the deeds will be sound. And if the heart is corrupt, then the rest of the deeds will be corrupt. And the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah again, radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily Allah does not look at your images and or at your wealth. However, Allah looks at your heart and your deeds." And it's very important to add deeds. Because in some of the copies of Imam Nawawi's Riyadu Salihin, this hadith is mentioned without that word, أَعْمَالَكُمْ. And because of that, it was used by all those who wish to follow their desires in terms of their Islamic appearance by saying, look, Allah said He doesn't look at our shape, He doesn't look at our, you know, wealth, He looks at our heart. My heart is clean. Outwardly, nothing represents the sunnah. Inwardly, he claims that he is actually sound, pure heart. So they use this hadith to continue to follow their desires. However, the hadith says, وَأَعْمَالَكُمْ, and your deeds. Everything you do outwardly is part of your deeds. So Allah looks at that. Allah looks at our hearts and the way we represent ourselves Islamically. This is part of our iman, it is part of our deed. No one can use it to follow their desires because of the hadith. And عفى الله عن الإمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, in the body there's a morsel, there's a piece of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole body will be sound. If it is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt. And that is the heart." You all know the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhu. The Shaykh said, "So Allah, so the heart, Afwan, has been given this great status in Islam, in this life and in the life to come." And the affairs of the people never went bad until that disease affected their hearts, that of negligence. After they neglected their hearts, it became easy for them to neglect others because the heart was affected by the disease, so the body parts consequently were affected by the same disease. So he said, "Shall we not then take a pause and look at our hearts? What has happened to our hearts? With what things have we occupied our hearts from the affairs of the dunya and our livelihood and our jobs? Has there anything, is there any space left for the life to come? Preparing for that which pleases Allah?" The other reason why people have that disease of negligence that has spread amongst the people is فُقْدَانُ الْأَمَانَةِ. Let's test your translation skills. فُقْدَانُ الْأَمَانَةِ. Can someone roughly translate that? فُقْدَان. What is فُقْدَان? For example, عِنْدَ فُقْدَانِ الْمَاء يَجُوزُ لَكَ أَن تَتَيَمَّمْ. فُقْدَان. إِذَا فُقِدَ الْمَاء تَتَيَمَّمْ. Absence. Well, not shortage. Absence. Well, I mean, yes, all of your definitions or your translations are acceptable. But let's be accurate. Absence. Amana, trust. So the absence of trust amongst the people. Or, and, فقدان الشعور بالمسؤولية, the absence of the feeling of responsibility. Absence of responsibility. That we have that, that we're responsible amongst some. This is what has made people become negligent, whether they are students in school, or whether he is a teacher, or whether he is an employee or a manager, whatever. Allah said, "Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna ay yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha." Verily, we have presented the amana to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا, so they refused. They refused أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا, to carry it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, and the son of Adam carried it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. We ever oppress ourselves and act in an ignorant way. As a general description of the son of Adam, because of what they do. Not that Allah created us in this fashion. Allah created us with the tendency to do good. And the righteous believers are not ظَلُوم, nor are they جَهُول. In the ultimate sense. But human beings, as Allah said, most of them tend to go and follow the shayateen. So they have made themselves in this fashion. Not that you think Allah made us, you know, this and then He blamed us for it. No. Allah gave us everyone a fair and square chance to be rightly guided and to enter Jannah. We are the ones who have the shortcomings. The Prophet ﷺ said, the sign of the hypocrite, signs of the hypocrite are three. If he speaks, he lies. If he promises, he will betray. And if you are entrusted him with something, he will act treacherously. Very common. The Shaykh said, the absence of amana is a calamity. And if the society loses the amana, it becomes very difficult to deal with them. Very difficult to interact with them. Because you cannot trust anyone. You cannot trust anyone. And this is the major reason behind people becoming negligent concerning their, concerning responsibility. It's the fact that they don't feel the gravity of amana which is on their shoulders. They don't feel it. They don't feel that they're responsible. Until it will be said, as comes later in the ummah, the trustworthy person will become so unavailable, so rare to find, that they will say, Fulan, there's one person in such and such tribe, he's Amin. Yani, they will become people that you can just point to individuals. Most of the people will lose their amana. Nas'alullah al-afiyah. You will hardly find a person who is trustworthy and who observes Allah in the sense that he observes the fact that Allah is looking over him. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظِرُ السَّاعَةِ. If the trust has been lost, then expect the hour. Expect the end of time. They said, O Messenger of Allah, how does the amana get lost? How do we lose the amana? What is the sign of the loss of amana? He said, if the matter has been referred to other than those who should be dealing with it. So today, you have, who are the muftis? The artists. You know, they bring a wicked actor or a singer and they bring him on TV and they are the ones who issue fatwa. This is halal, this is haram. They speak on behalf of the scholars and the ulama and the people of the deen as if Allah gave them the authority to... They can't even deal with the art which they're involved in, let alone speak of the affairs of the deen. So you give, the responsibility is given to people who are not qualified. And this is very common. You will get a job which you would never deserve if your uncle works in the company. Isn't that true? And the qualified person with all his degrees can't find a job. Wasta. You know wasta. Connections. With connections everything gets done. So you will find you go to a company and the one who's running this company can't even read. He can't even read. He's very good at drinking tea. One cup after the other. But he can't manage a business. But it's... He's been given a trust which he's not deserving of. He's not qualified to be in this particular position. And I mean, we can broaden this, but I don't want to go beyond the discussion. Otherwise, there are many other examples which we can relate here. In another riwayah, when the affairs have been granted then to those who do not deserve it. O Muslims, not caring for our hearts, not feeling the sense of trust and responsibility has led us to all of this negligence which we experience in our lives. First, and the one which is most evident, is negligence in ibadat. Negligence in acts of worship. So that we do not carry out the acts of worship as expected. And we do not look after them and do them the way they're supposed to be done. This is something that is extremely dangerous. And this is among the personal affairs which one of us has with his Lord. So there's negligence concerning salah. And there's negligence concerning the wudu or the purification which precedes the salah. And there's negligence concerning the adab, the etiquettes of the salah, the sunan of the salah, the obligations of the salah and the conditions of the salah. There's negligence concerning the khushu'. The submissiveness which we're supposed to feel in salah, the presence of the heart while standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a major, and ironically this is what we were discussing in the khutbah there in Mushrifah, there's a major negligence concerning maintaining Salatul Jama'ah, praying in congregation. I don't know about this masjid, but how many people pray Fajr? At the time of Iqamah, how many rows do you have? One? Two? Four? Four rows of, during Iqamah? Barakallahu feekum. MashaAllah. Congratulations. Alhamdulillah. No, at the end, that's another story. We're talking about in the beginning. At the end, people continue to come until Allah knows when. But in our masjid, we have half a row or three quarters of a row. And then, you know, this is half hour, half a day. Iqamah is half an hour after the adhan. That's enough time for you to shower three times, have breakfast, and, you know, read a book and make it to the masjid. But it just doesn't happen. Ala kulli hal, Salatul Fajr, negligence. The Sheikh said, we are excited for Ramadan. It's a season. But what is amazing is that carelessness after Ramadan, all that desire goes away. And then you will find that some who neglect Salatul Jama'ah without any valid excuse are actually sinful. And some of them pray at home, even though he's supposed to pray in the masjid in the Jama'ah. So the Shaykh said, and you don't listen to the caller of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ told the man who was blind, and they were beasts. There were beasts in Medina back then who may devour him on the way to the masjid, a blind man. He told them, I can't find a qa'id, one to guide me to the masjid. So the Prophet ﷺ first gave him the rukhsa, the concession. But when he started to walk away, he said, Ya fulan, hal tasma'u nida'a bis salah? Can you hear the call? Can you hear the adhan for prayer? He said, qala na'am, qala fa'ajib. Then respond. He didn't allow a blind man who had to walk on his own without a guide, okay, and he could be attacked by wild animals, to pray at home. What is our excuse? And another thing which the Sheikh didn't mention, which I like to point out, is praying in these silly t-shirts. Silly t-shirt which is right around your waist. You make sujood with that thing. You don't see, Habibi. You don't see. Let those who pray behind you tell you what they see during your sujood. Pink underwear. I remain to be amazed at a man who wears a pink underwear. I don't know if it's a fashion statement or it's something else. But why would you show your underwear to brothers in the masjid? Do you think you look cool like that? You can't, ya akhi, wear a qamis that is long enough to cover you, so when you make ruku' and sujood, your back is covered. Mind you, the area between your knees and your navel is part of the obligatory part which must be covered in salah. Of course you should cover your shoulders if you have a garment. So when your lower back is exposed, your salah is batila, invalid. Because you're almost like praying naked. So the validity of salah is conditional to the way you dress. And some people know that their back may be exposed, but he favors to please the people with this t-shirt over pleasing Allah and the validity of the salah. So they don't care. You tell them, ya akhi, when you come to the masjid, put on a thawb, put on something. And when it's outside, that's a whole other discussion. We're not going to make things difficult for you, even though we prefer otherwise. But no, they will continue to pray. Ya akhi, stop this. Make sure, Habibi, your back is covered in the salah. Either wear a long t-shirt, or wear a qamis and sirwal, or a thawb. Al-muhim, make sure that your salah is not wasted. Don't be negligent concerning that. Because Allah, if Allah doesn't accept the salah, then you haven't accomplished anything in this life. So this is something which the people are negligent about. The Shaykh said, if we actually reflect upon other acts of worship, we will find that it has been also conquered by negligence. So people are negligent in carrying out the zakah, in paying the zakah, either by paying it altogether or by paying it to those who deserve it. Some of us have negligence concerning Hajj. They don't hasten to do Hajj even though they're able to do Hajj. Or when they do it, they don't do it according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And it's very sad to say that, you know, it reached the level of laziness in some of us that when they want to do Hajj, they simply take a book They take a book which has a description of Hajj and Umrah, and they manage, they try to manage over there how to do Hajj. They can't take half an hour studying in case you lost a book or the book was inauthentic, that you actually know what to do. They don't ask, they don't learn, they don't research. They, as they go to Hajj, they learn it in the process. What happens afterwards? They come back, oh yeah, Shaykh, I didn't do Tawaf al-Wada', I forgot to do Sa'i, I forgot, and their Hajj is invalid. And the Shaykh tells them, you have to go back to Mecca and do this and do that and sacrifice an animal. Why? Learn. Learn the rites of Hajj before you go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh said, fear Allah, O Muslims, and do not let this negligence in your lives reach your acts of worship. There's a connection between you and your Lord, and it is the path which leads to Jannah, to the Jannah of your Lord. If you neglect that, I'm afraid you will never make it. In the second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh spoke about negligence towards the children. Sorry, the teenagers. He said this actually covers a number of aspects. First, the parents, the fathers, who are negligent concerning directing, instructing and guiding their children Islamically, concerning the legislation. Perhaps he will command him, forbid him, and reprimand him regarding many different other matters. But he does not command him and forbid him from salah. And this is known. You didn't do your homework? Where's your homework? We will give him a big lecture, but he doesn't wake up for salah. Oh, you didn't pray? Go have lunch. Your lunch is waiting for you. You're supposed to be upset when he didn't go to Salatul Jama'ah, and the homework, yani, life goes on. He can make it up. It's the other way around. How are you going to become a doctor? Did you not know that you cannot enter Jannah without a doctor's degree? No, we didn't know that. But this is from the inventions of modern days. If you're not a graduate of Oxford or some fancy university, oh no, your chances in life are very slim. I'm afraid, akhi, that the life to come is not for you. These are from the bid'ah of the people. You don't have to graduate from anywhere, akhi. You can open Fool and Tamiz shop and go to Jannah before half of the doctors in the world. Why? You do what Allah wants you to do. If you want to be a doctor also, barakallah fiqh. But not on the expense of that. Not on the expense of deen. If it's not education or deen, and if they conflict, you choose education. If you can bring them together, alhamdulillah. If you cannot and you have to choose, then choose the deen. That's really very basic. I'm sure everyone knows in the depth of his heart that this is the way we're supposed to deal with things. But Allah al-Musta'an. So the Shaykh said he doesn't command him concerning salah, halal and haram. And he is responsible for this negligence before Allah, and he will be held accountable for it. Some of the fathers are negligent concerning guiding their children concerning behavior and conduct. So they do not instill in their children the noble characteristics and the noble traits. So you find that these children lack bravery, they lack nobleness and generosity. You find that he doesn't respect the elder, he's arrogant, and he is disrespectful to his parents. He may even beat his father if necessary. They do not honor those who are older in age. He doesn't feel kind and compassion towards the poor and the needy, and other things which are against the teachings of Islam. Then there are some fathers who neglect their children's rights concerning their education. So the father will admit his son to a school. Then afterwards he doesn't know anything that happens. He thinks that the mudir, the principal of the school, and the teachers will love his kid just as much as he does. So they will take care of him like he would take care of him. This is not true. I'm sure you've all had your personal experiences with the educational system in the kingdom. It is not necessarily the best in the world. Which means that as parents we need to follow up with the teachers, with the school, to ensure that our children are being educated accordingly. Because sometimes they learn all the bad and they leave all the good. And it's the father's responsibility to know that. He doesn't know when his son enters the school and when he leaves. Perhaps he doesn't know in which grade his son is. You know, was it third elementary? Oh, let me check the paperwork. Let me check the receipt. You know, doesn't know where his son is learning. The Sheikh said, all this is a form of negligence of the fathers towards their children. We are approaching the summer vacation. What have we prepared for them? I hope it is not a trip to the UK so they can spend time with a Christian family so they can learn English. I hope that's not what you have prepared for your children. So fear Allah concerning your children and do not neglect them. If you neglect them, this is verily the compilation of evil in this dunya and in the life to come. Thirdly, negligence towards maids. For example, those who work, I don't know how many of you have maids working at home. I don't think it is, you know, very likely that we would have any. Nevertheless, the Shaykh was, just to summarize, because I don't think it's relevant to us here, expats, that, you know, those who work, who are brought from other countries, they're not given any education concerning Islam. Some of them practice magic, some of them practice different violations, some of them are still upon shirk and kufr and grave worship, and they're not educated concerning the matters of the deen. So those who are working for you at home, drivers, what have you, they're negligent. In fact, it's very often that at the time of salah, the lady feels like going for some shopping. So the poor driver sitting there in the car, everybody's praying in the masjid, and he can't leave the car because, you know, mama is in the, you know, supermarket. Let him go pray in the masjid. They say, no. No, this is haram for him to go pray in the masjid. He must stay in the car. Allah musta'an. So they're neglected in a sense. Fourthly, the health, the general health. The Shaykh said, do we have in our times a lot of diseases and which have spread that were not known amongst our previous generations? Many amongst us suffer different diseases, perhaps because of shortage in sleep, eating, drinking and playing sports, or because of eating a lot of some particular food, which actually leads to a lot of problems health-wise in the community and the society, which eventually leads to heart attacks and diabetes and what have you of diseases. And many of these diseases are very hard to be treated. It's very hard to treat them. They require a lot of money and bringing medicine from overseas, and you know the rest. Fifthly, negligence concerning the prophetic instructions. And I specifically mentioned the adhkar and the fortresses which we get from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as the things which will protect you from hasad, from ayn, from sihr, and many psychological problems. In fact, if one maintains the adhkar after the salah, and the adhkar in the morning, the adhkar in the evening, upon entering the bathroom, upon leaving the bathroom, before eating, after eating, giving salam upon entering the house, and you know them. If you maintain them, this person is very unlikely that he will be affected by an evil eye or magic, inshallah. Illa idha sha'allah. But the asal that these people are protected and preserved by Allah through these adhkar, which are from the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, needless to say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ is a ruqya. Grab your child and recite that upon him every now and then. This, the Prophet ﷺ used to do this to Al-Hassan and Hussein. أُعِذُكُمَا بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَمَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ. This is a dua which you should learn and apply to the children. So Allah Azza wa Jal will protect him. And the last thing which the Shaykh mentioned in this khutbah is the negligence concerning the life to come. He said, and this is amazing, that we find some people only working for their dunya and neglecting their life to come. So you find him exercising and striving and making things difficult upon himself to earn some wealth or some position, without even thinking about something which will benefit him in the life to come. So he neglects his life to come because of his preoccupation with his dunya. And this, wallahi, is from the, this is an aspect, or this is a manifestation of Allah not granting this person success. If Allah doesn't want to give you success, He will keep you busy in the dunya so that you will not prepare anything for the life to come. Let the believer be very careful concerning this dunya, that he may be deceived by its entertainment, by its desires, by its pleasures. And let him know that he shall leave to the life of eternity, the life of pleasure and delight. This, that life to come, requires correct deeds here, so that one may enter it. May Allah grant me and you the righteous deeds and the ability to attain that. And that is the translation of the khutbah. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.